How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined today, as always, by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare up at WrestlingObserver.com. And we got a lot of news to get into here today. Lots of news. Here on Sunday, we took last week off, and as a result, a lot of stuff to get into, including the WWE Night of Champions pay-per-view, which is coming up very soon. The John Cena-Brock Lesnar rematch is coming up. We're going to talk about that and do some predictions and that sort of thing regarding that. We'll talk about the worst Raw in a long, long time this past Monday. Universally hailed as one of the worst Raws, I can't really say in years because we've had a lot of bad Raws here and there, but this one was particularly bad. In particular, the women's match, which is leading to tonight's Total Divas debut. For those of you that are big fans of Total Divas, it is returning tonight on E! And we'll ask Mike. Mike is he's been skipping some Total Divas events of late, but I think it's time that he got into it, even though it's football season. Time to get started with Total Divas. So we'll talk about that. We got some news on Daniel Bryan. We've got a lot of shows to talk about from this past weekend. There was an Invicta show, which actually today I haven't even tried to watch. I know that last night there was a problem with Fight Pass, and that whole thing went down. The Karate Hottie actually killed Fight Pass, so we'll talk about that. There was also UFC and Bellator this weekend. The TNA World Heavyweight Champion fought in a mixed martial arts fight. A few years ago, this would have been huge news, but today, with the way that things are in pro wrestling, it appears that virtually nobody cares that essentially the TNA World Heavyweight title was defended in a shoot fight on a Bellator television event, so we're going to talk about that. Plus, I watched the first Nitro. We can reminisce a little bit about that as Death of WCW is getting ready to be released, and a bunch of other stuff as well, so bunch of stuff to talk about tonight, everybody, so stick around. Back in just a moment, you're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi is here as always. A lot of stuff to get into here today. And Mike, you're probably aware that the first thing I'm going to ask you about today is your Total Divas viewing schedule for the debut this evening. Are you going to watch it?
Oh, see, I thought the first thing you were going to ask me about was my fantasy team since the NFL season has begun today.
No.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there is no Sunday night game tonight. There's two Monday night games. So, in fact, if I so choose, I could watch Total Divas tonight on E.
And are you going to so choose?
No.
Oh, man.
Hey, you know what? They had me for a minute. Possibly, maybe they had me for a minute. But I found out Rosa Mendez was going to be on. That was strike one. And then I have had a chance to watch Growing Up Bella on Raw for the past 2 weeks, which is being forced on them in a way by E, and that strikes two and three for me.
I thought that you were a big fan of Rosa Mendez. Is that incorrect?
No. Layla, yes. Lana, yes. Couple others. But no, I've never been a big fan of Rosa Mendez.
So are you telling me that all of the women that you are excited to see on television, none of them are cast members on Total Divas?
No, that's untrue because I do like Naomi Cameron for comedic purposes. Big fan of thighs. And Rosa Mendez not only has no thighs, at this point, 10 years into her tenure in WWE, I don't see what the redeeming value is at all.
Well, the show is back.
Why do they not have Rosa Mendez dress up with like some sort of like, I don't know, what are they? Not a mariachi dancer. Something to be associated again with the colognes. And with El Torito, I think that would probably make more sense than having her on Total Divas.
Well, as we learned on Monday, it's apparently much more important to put her in the ring.
Yes.
Don't know why the match was hideous. You know, when I look back on that Raw, it was a bad Raw. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know if it would have been such a terrible Raw had it not been for that women's match, and it was astonishing to me. They had a women's match on Raw that was so bad. How can I say this? There was a women's match on Impact, and sometimes the fans in the building will chant better than the divas. And granted, the women on Impact are treated fairly seriously. They're given a lot of time for matches and that sort of thing. But really, with like a couple of exceptions, they're really not better than the divas. Like, I don't think there's anybody, maybe Gail Kim, but I don't think that there's anybody in TNA that is better than, for example, actually a lot of the girls there. But Natalya, I mean, who is better than Natalya in TNA? A lot of the girls there have turned into to pretty good workers. Naomi's turned into a pretty good worker. AJ is very good. Paige is very good. So there are a lot of like good workers in WWE. And normally when people say, you know, chant better than the divas, it's like, that's a cool chant and all, but really your girls are not better than the WWE divas. However, they started chanting it this past Thursday, and all I could think was, oh man, that Divas match on Raw. I cannot justify that match on Raw. This week they may be right. These knockouts are better than the Divas. And granted, the only person really in the match was Rosa Mendez, and it's no secret she's terrible. But that was a really, really bad match. And the most infuriating thing about it was, that was their teaser for Total Divas. That was what they thought was going to make you, Mike, and me, who has actually traditionally been a fan of Total Divas, excited to see the show this coming Sunday, tonight. And when that match was over, I literally have no interest in watching that show tonight. I had to force Vinny to watch the show all last season. He did it much to his dismay. There's no way I can convince him to watch the show here tonight. So it was a lose-lose situation all around for WWE by thinking that would be a good idea to promote this show. It's amazing to me.
I can't believe you talked yourself into watching the show considering where we were at last year towards the end when it came to that show.
Well, I've got an idea actually this year. I'm going to keep it a secret, but I'll just say that there may be a Total Divas review on the Brian and Vinny show later on tonight. Not what you expect. I'll just say that.
How many times you can flip while the show is on? There's a remote control click count that you have to just keep pulling yourself away to get yourself through it, and you have to go back to it. I could see something like that.
I'll reveal it. I'm going to try to get Wang over every week to review Total Divas with me.
That seems like a pretty good job for him.
Yes, he's into pop culture. He doesn't care about wrestling. This show is on E, and so it's not really directed at wrestling fans. So for my own sake of comedy and for my own entertainment, I'm going to see if Wang wants to come over every Sunday and watch Total Divas and then review it briefly on the show. That's
Wang
my
and
idea.
The women, I like it.
That's right. That's my idea, so we'll see if that works out. So anyway, everybody, if you want to see Total Divas, it is debuting tonight on E.
And the pain, and granted, wrestling does not do tie-ins well, whether it be RoboCop or Ready to Rumble, or usually anything that's associated with wrestling, it's not that great, and that's fine. It's always going to probably be that way. But with that said, they had time to work on this. It's not like, you know, the NBC Universal Networks came to them on Sunday night and said, hey, you know what? You got to lodge this into the show because we're going to be debuting on Sunday and do something. They did tell them to do something, but they had time to try to figure something out. And this was the best they came up with on a show that no matter what you take on Monday Night Raw, no matter what you pick from that show, it wasn't good.
Yeah.
Just made it worse.
I'm over it. We'll see what happens tonight. If Wang doesn't come over, I'm not watching the show. I'll just put it that way. Too much stuff this weekend. I mean, there was
too much
so much
good stuff.
Yeah, there was the UFC show. The TNA World Heavyweight Champion fought in a mixed martial arts match.
And that wasn't even the most pro wrestling thing on that show.
No, we had Tito Ortiz and Stefan Bonner doing a pro wrestling angle, which was so wacky. It was so wacky. What else do we have this weekend? The ROH iPay-per-view. We're going to talk about all of these things on the show. I guess the first thing that I really want to talk about is Lashley. I got to admit, I'm not going to lie, I thought for sure that Lashley, I didn't think for sure that he was going to lose, but I thought because he is the TNA World Heavyweight Champion, and because this is TNA, I mean, there's no way he's winning this fight. You know what I mean? Like they're cursed to have
their luck is being involved here.
Exactly. They're having their champion going to this Bellator fight, and they are it's destiny that he is going to get knocked out by a guy that doesn't look impressive at all because Bobby Lashley looks like an action figure. And trust me, if you didn't see the fight, his opponent did not look impressive at all physically. But luckily, Bobby Lashley went in there and he pretty much destroyed this guy. There were a few moments where he didn't look that impressive. Obviously, Bobby Lashley's stand-up leaves a lot to be desired. But overall, I thought that he didn't do too bad. And when I watched the fight, I thought, you know, if this were my wrestling company, I would create a video package, a best of Bobby Lashley winning an MMA fight as TNA champion package. And I would air it at least twice on Impact, like how WWE airs their, they get a Brock Lesnar thing, for example, and they air it in the first hour and they air it in the second hour. And I would air it. And I don't know, Dave doesn't seem to think that they're going to, but I think that they should. What do you think?
Of course they should. But then again, if it was you or I's promotional company and wrestling company, if we knew he was coming out in all black tights, we probably would have slapped Impact Wrestling on the back of it. To hype it, which they didn't do that. So I their promotion leaves a little bit to be desired sometimes, but I agree with you wholeheartedly. Why would you not do that? I mean, Lesnar's the champion, and yes, everybody knew he was UFC heavyweight champion, and yes, in a way you're copying him, but Lashley's still active. He just got a win. He busted a dude wide open. Go ahead and use it.
He beat Josh Burns via submission. We're actually going to talk about this when we come back from the break. A lot of stuff to get into here today, everybody, so stick around. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We have Mike Sempervivi here on the line. And we're talking about Bobby Lashley's MMA victory as TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Can't believe they didn't have the guy come out with his TNA title belt on. I thought that was a... I mean, the announcers talked about Lashley as the TNA champion. They were talking about how pro wrestling beats up your body, how you do all of these different shows. They put over pro wrestling. So, like, what's the problem with him coming out with the TNA World Heavyweight title belt on? I think they should have done that. I think that, as noted in the last segment, they should do some sort of video package highlighting his win. We talked about it a little bit with Dave last night on the show. Dave, he mentioned that they didn't really plug it a lot in advance on Impact. And when I thought about it, it was kind of like, I don't know if I would have plugged it too much in advance because he could have lost. You know what I mean? Like, if you build it up real big that your champion's going to be in an MMA fight and then he goes in there and loses, then what do you do? So, to me, you kind of plug it a little bit because you have to plug it for Spike and for Bellator. But don't go too heavy into it. But if the guy wins, then you make a big deal out of it. Look, this guy just beat Josh Burns at Bellator 123, his debut. He beat him with a rear naked choke. He beat the crap out of the guy. That's something that I think that you should play up for your television show.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly on the promotion going in, because as you said, there'd be nothing more embarrassing if you're hyping up, you know, as he's in this main heel faction and he's your heavyweight champion. You know, there is always the risk that he walks in and it's a first punch knockout. You know, one of those things that like Matt Mitrione on Friday night where the guy just walked literally right into his hand and got knocked out. And you wouldn't want something like that to obviously, you know, overshadow your show. But now that he has one, why would you not promote it? And again, in the way that he did it, too. And it was long and drawn out. Bobby Lashley was attempting a key lock, and then he attempted a Kimura for a while. And as he's doing this, you know, you're thinking to yourself, if he just would hammer this dude with forearms and elbows in the face, this thing would end. But Lashley was obviously trying to look for the submission. Ultimately, he got one with a guillotine choke. Was it a guillotine or a rear naked? I can't remember. But either
way,
rear
naked.
He won with a choke, so that's obviously what he was working for, was a submission. But you can cut that thing up really easily and have a nice little highlight package of how dominant this dude is. And, you know, you never have to bring up the fact on TNA that this guy is a, you know, he's not exactly Cain Velasquez, who he was facing. He wasn't James Thompson, even, who Bobby Lashley has once lost to in Strikeforce. He was just a guy, but he was a guy that Lashley busted open pro wrestling style on his forehead and was bleeding like a stuck pig. And Bobby Lashley, your heavyweight champion of the world, just choked that man out on national TV. Why would you not use that?
Poor Josh Burns here, I noticed, doesn't even have a Wikipedia page. Which means
even Mr. Burns from The Simpsons has a Wikipedia page.
That's right. That's right.
Bret Hart tried to buy his house once.
Hey, you know, I'd heard that story. I believe Dave may have even confirmed it. But anyway, Josh Burns here took a serious beating at the hands of Lashley. I thought it was great. Lashley, you know, I got to say, Lashley's stand-up is kind of sucks, to be honest with you. But obviously, he's got great takedowns, and I was kind of impressed with his work on the ground. Now, granted, it's just Josh Burns, so it's not like he had Josh Barnett down there on the ground. But Lashley had a very technically proficient pass to the side control. He did a very good job holding him down. He was trying for submissions. You know, he tried for an Americana. He tried for a Kimura. And he didn't get him, and he knew enough when the guy rolled, obviously, to take his back and put on a choke. So it's not like he was just a one-dimensional wrestler. I mean, he had a little bit of stuff on the ground. So I thought that Lashley didn't look too bad. And you know what it reminds me of, actually, is I'm not gonna say anything bad about the Young Bucks versus Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly last night, because it was a really, really fun match, but during intermission, they had a video package of two of their more recent matches, actually. And what they did was they edited together all of the highlights into this video package. And man, this video package was so cool. It made me so excited to see the match later. And I guess the easiest way to say it is the video package was so great that the match itself didn't even deliver. I mean, it delivered, but I thought the video package was more exciting than the actual match. And so, got me thinking that, you know, don't show the whole Bobby Lashley match because there were a few things where he didn't look great. But man, edit that thing together and play that on your shows and your pay-per-views. Every time Bobby Lashley comes to the ring, that should be on his Titantron, whatever they call the thing, the Impact-tron. You know, make a big deal out of your fact that your guy is a current fighter. Who cares that Josh Burns doesn't have a Wikipedia? Your world champion is a world champion who also beats guys for real. That's a big deal.
Yeah, he looks the part, and he actually walks the part. So, yeah, why would you not do that? Again, it just, to me, it's a no-brainer. And I don't know, maybe there was an issue with Bobby Lashley. I mean, Ashley had, I don't think, any advertising on him whatsoever. So maybe TNA gets a pass for that. But I thought that was, I mean, for Spike TV, you know, and again, they obviously have their issues with TNA right now, but it's still a promotion that's going to be on your station until January. You know, through December, it's going to be on there. And obviously, King Mo and guys like Rampage Jackson, Tito Ortiz, Stefan Bonner, Bobby Lashley, these are names that you want and you're going to want to try to cultivate as much as you can and get an audience in there watching this thing, especially when they're head up with the UFC as they were this week. So, you know, to me, they didn't put their best foot forward promotionally that way. But again, maybe there was an issue there. But from this point forward, especially when it comes to TNA, you had about 7.5, whatever it was, minutes of fighting. you only need 30 seconds. You only need 45 seconds, maybe even a minute when you include some training montage and then a post-fight promo afterwards, which hopefully they did as well with him breathing heavy and sweating. You know, take it back to the days of old school wrestling, taking it to the days of today of New Japan, who still show many times the post-fight press conference. It's a very important thing as part of the whole package over there. You know, him, you know, breathing heavy and just, you know, saying how he put one on this man. And, you know, did you see how I busted him open? Guess who comes next? Whoever I'm facing next. Again, this is – it's such a no-brainer. We'll see what they do. But this to me is – it's so easy. How do you screw it up?
Well, you know, I'm sure they can find a way if they want to, but
– you just don't do it being the biggest way, I guess.
Yeah. I think that they're going to show clips of it. I think they'd be crazy not to, but I guess we'll see. You know, the what else do we have? The Bonner-Griffin pro wrestling style angle that they did on Bellator.
I was hoping for two Hebners.
Oh, man, it was so wacky. They're going to do a Stefan Bonner versus Tito Ortiz fight. And so they brought both guys out. And I guess the storyline is that Stefan Bonner is claiming that everybody that that Tito Ortiz has worked with in his lifetime hates him. And so he has found a guy that used to work with Tito. And this guy is apparently going to help him beat Tito Ortiz. That's the story. And so they bring this guy out, and he's in a mask. And it's just, they're in the middle of the Bellator ring. There's Stefan Bonner in a masked man. There's Tito Ortiz. They're cutting promos on each other. Bonner unmasks the guy. And I was like, oh, God, I hope it's like Jenna Jameson. But instead, it was like a dude. I can't even remember for the life of me who this guy was. Who was this guy that was under the mask?
It was Justin McCulley, who was a long-time...
That's right.
Hanger on, well, I want to say hanger on, but a long-time training partner, friend of Tito Ortiz, I believe from Huntington Beach, who has done his fair share of professional wrestling on the California indie scene and with New Japan in the early 2000s, where there was this California-Japanese connection where Inoki was there, and they were using a lot of shoot fighters, guys like, you know, the Gafaris and Tom Howards and people like that in 01 in New Japan. He was one of those guys.
Justin McCulley. And then he didn't even tell us who Justin McCulley was.
Nope.
That's kind of an important detail, don't you think?
Especially when Tito Ortiz is yelling at them, calling them drug addicts, that maybe you should say, okay, that's, you know, performance enhancing, and Tito, maybe you shouldn't talk about such a thing. Who should talk about such a thing is this man right here, Justin McCulley, who can tell everyone all about the fact that nobody likes Tito Ortiz, you fans shouldn't like Tito Ortiz, and you should pay to see me come over here and beat up Tito Ortiz. It's not going to be a pay-per-view, but you should watch me beat up Tito Ortiz with the help of Justin McCulley, none of which they did.
No. It was like they had an idea, but they didn't really know how to execute the idea. It was just very wacky. I mean, it was. I'm a fan of wacky, Mike. I don't know if you or the listeners are aware, but this was like a level of wacky that was just it was too much for me. I couldn't take it seriously, and I thought it really, I don't know. It was too goofy even for me, actually. Do you have any?
I'm really shocked by that. I got to be honest. I so didn't see it coming, and I was watching the UFC show, and I missed most of it at first. I had to flip over, and I caught it late. And it's like there's a dude standing there in a mask, and Tito's going nuts, and it's like, what in the hell did I just miss? And then I went back and watched it. And it was just absolutely bizarre. I can see how hardcore MMA fans, this is the type of thing, no matter if Sakuraba and Takata and you know, all of these guys, the whole basis of mixed martial arts was pretty much started from pro wrestling roots. You know, they were, quote, professional wrestlers. You were getting paid to fight. Forget about all that. This is the type of stuff that they hate. And it came off so kind of hokey. It wouldn't surprise me if this, you know, can do more damage than be a benefit, but it was so out of left field for me that I had to get a laugh, and it got attention.
All right. Stand by, everybody. We're going to head to a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you how this could have been improved, because I've actually got a few comments about this, but that's coming up after the break, everybody. So stand by. Back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. A lot of stuff to get into here today. Of course, if you love this show and you only get to hear it once per week on Sirius Satellite Radio, you are missing out. Daily radio shows up at WrestlingObserver.com. We did a show last night. We've got another show coming up tonight. We'll be reviewing Total Divas, the Ring of Honor iPay-Per-View. What else is tonight? SmackDown, NXT, and a lot more. So that's coming up only for subscribers. Not only
Do you want me to call in with a remote report from Salisbury, Maryland for the house show and the debut of the Ascension back on the house show circuit?
That's right. There, the Ascension is coming up tonight. That would actually be that would be fun, but it'll be very late for you, Mike. I'm talking like 2 a.m. Eastern here tonight. But if you woke up in the morning, Mike, and you were a subscriber, you could go and download the show to your iPod. Do people use iPods anymore? You could download it to your iPhone. But we got so many shows that are available for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. Not only to get all of the new programming, but every radio show that we've ever done dating back to 2005 is available in the archives for subscribers. So if you want to hear, for example, a Ring of Honor iPay-Per-View report from last year, guess what? As a subscriber, you can go up there and grab it. We've got over 5,000, last time I checked, 6,000 hours of audio in the archives, only for subscribers. And if you sign up, you not only get all of the new shows, but you get all of the archived shows as well. So long-term subscription is $9.99. It gets you everything. It gets you everything. It gets you the new shows. It gets you the archive shows. It gets you the ability to download them. If you're listening for free or you're a subscriber, I want to recommend Downcast. It's the best way to get the subscribers-only audio. It is an app that everybody's using. It's called Downcast. And apparently it's great for the shows. So sign up today, check it out. You'll get all the new and old shows and the Observer Newsletter, the Figure Four Weekly, PDF versions of Figure Four. It is a great deal, so check it out. And Mike, what else is on the lineup for Salisbury tonight?
Well, let me just say I use Downcast, so I can attest to that. It works perfectly, but you know, this should reaffirm your faith in wrestling fans, too. Sometimes, you know, we talk a lot about John Cena and kids and things like that. But one of the benefits of the WWE Network is that my son, who granted being my son and having to be influenced by a lot of this sort of stuff, likes things like Ring of Honor, and he's a big fan of NXT. So the one thing he's the most happy about tonight, because John Cena is in State College, Pennsylvania, I believe, Penn State, he's on that tour. The Wyatt family is over there on that one. Paige is over there on that one. We're getting Sami Zayn against Tyson Kidd, and that's the thing that he's actually most excited for. So that's actually really nice. We're going to have, you know, Rusev and let's see, I think the Ascension is facing off against Big E and Kofi. I'm not sure. I believe Stardust and Goldust are also on there as well. I'll have to try to pull up the lineup here that took place last night in Hampton. Rollins against Reigns is the main event. Sandow against Adam Rose, Ziggler and Bo Dallas. We've got an epic six-woman battle again. Nikki, Cameron, and Alicia against Brie, Eva Marie, and Naomi. So thankfully, you know, hopefully they have Rosa Mendez somewhere just getting ready for tonight to watch herself on E! And Total Divas and keeping her out of the ring. But Fandango and R-Truth will be taking place as well. But it's nice to hear that he's most happy about seeing Sami Zayn and Tyson Kidd, because I'm most happy about seeing Sami Zayn and Tyson Kidd.
I love that Kofi and Big E Langston are doing their New Nation gimmick on the road.
With Xavier, by the way.
Well, that's right. But it's completely disappeared off television. Just
oops.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just it's funny to me, but yeah, they're doing their gimmick, everybody, on the house shows. Whether it'll come to TV, I don't know, but there you go. So Mike's gonna
be the last house show I went to. It was Big E and Randy Orton too, and the match was really, really good in Ocean City. And it's funny to see some of the evolution of these guys when they had the Intercontinental. I remember going to see Juan Cena against Wade Barrett and seeing the position Wade Barrett was in at that time down in Salisbury. It's just when they come back through and it's like, you know, no offense to Big E Langston or to Kofi Kingston. These guys shouldn't be teaming up on a show that nobody cares about, not being on TV with a gimmick that does. Again, it doesn't even really exist right now. It's really bizarre how all that's happened.
You're never going to forget Juan Cena, are you?
It still drives me nuts to this day, and it shows you how incredibly stupidly reliant they are on John Cena. And they could get into Monday if we wanted to about how idiotic they used him on Monday. That was taking place at a time where you're going into the holidays. If nothing else, why are you not selling merchandise? You know, we complained at the time that he took this beating from Nexus and they wanted, you know, he was being forced into joining up with Nexus and they couldn't keep him off TV for 1 week. So the plan was, we'll put him under a mask. And then they realize, well, they come to this conclusion that we can't even have John Cena under a mask, even though everybody knows it's him. It's like Mr. America and Hulk Hogan. He's so important to see his face, we can't even have him under the mask. And they blow a chance at an angle. They blow a chance to do something that could have been funny, that could have been interesting, and they blew a chance at merchandise sales. So it's, again, it's one of those things when it comes to them and John Cena that just – there's this big disconnection, and there's a reason that people rebel against him and things like that, because you just shove him down everybody's throat and you never twist the gimmick. It's good for a lot of reasons, like the whole Make-A-Wish Foundation and all that stuff. But you know what? You can put a spin onto his character and there will be no kids that say, I don't want to see John Cena come to me anymore. Or it would change John Cena in such a way where he would stop doing these things. It's a totally ridiculous argument.
They couldn't even like, sorry, I had my own audio down for some reason. They couldn't even like,
yawning during my rant.
Well, they couldn't even have the guy just like, wear the mask for the entire match to play off the storyline and then unmask at the end.
Brent, you've been watching wrestling for as long as I have. We're almost the same age. We have had the Midnight Rider. We have had Mr. America. We have had Uvalde Slim. We have had Mr. R. We have had the Yellow Dog. In so many incarnations, and it has not been done in so long that if you have done something like that with Cena, who is being forced against his will to join Nexus, I mean, it's just, again, now the problem is it's simple pro wrestling, and they don't like simple pro wrestling, but sometimes the simpler the better.
You know, I was watching on the network, I can't remember what the show was. It was one of the old pay-per-views that was just playing. It might have been like, I think it was SummerSlam. And in the Nexus, it was the Nexus against Cena and some babyfaces or something like that. And the title was on the line. And John Cena was beaten clean in the middle by Wade Barrett. Do you remember this?
No.
Of course you don't. Of course you don't. It was like, I got to find it here, actually.
I remember the Survivor Series where they couldn't give Nexus any shine.
No, this was like, it may have been SummerSlam, let's see, was it 2011? Let me find out here. It completely blew my mind. No, it wasn't 2011. Let's try SummerSlam 2012. This was Brock versus Triple H. Wasn't that one either? Was it 2010? For the love of God, was it that far back?
It may have been, actually. I mean, look how long that like Skip Sheffield was out.
And... It was Team WWE. John Cena, Daniel Bryan, Edge, Jericho, Bret Hart, Truth, and Morrison against Barrett, Gabriel, Heath Slater, David Otunga, Skip Sheffield, Michael Tarver, and Darren Young. And, oh, you know what? That wasn't it. What match was I watching? Because I guess this one, Wade Barrett was eliminated.
Yeah, that was the one where they couldn't even give him, you know, they couldn't do anything for him.
By John Cena, that's right. I'm going to find this, everybody, because now I'm determined to find out when this was. Because I couldn't even believe my eyes that John Cena had just been cleaned, pinned clean right in the middle of this multi-person match. Am I imagining things? Have I just completely lost my mind?
Maybe that happened after watching some of the stuff this week, because it's not like SmackDown was any better than Raw. They had the same type of goofy, beginning segment and the whole nine yards. Your brain is melting from all of this stuff.
Let's
Which,
see.
You know what? If you just let it go all together, you will be in perfect condition to watch Total Divas tonight.
Might have been Survivor Series. Let me find out here. Let's see. It was the Nexus. No, that was against 5-on-5 elimination match. This is absolutely going to drive me crazy. Did I imagine this? Randy Orton defeated Wade Barrett? No, that's not it. Oh, man. Did you watch the Ring of Honor pay-per-view?
I did.
Okay, start talking about this while I figure this out, because this is driving me just nuts.
Oh, yeah, but it was even going to do something for the site, but Dave did a good enough job. And this was, a fun show that got off to a little bit of a rocky start in that ACH they've been building up this TV title match against Jay Lethal for quite some time now. And this was going to be a big moment for ACH. And he emailed the company at 8:30 yesterday morning to say he was having travel issues and couldn't make it. And Truth Martini, Jay Lethal, and Salisa Sparks came out at the beginning of the show and just completely buried him. Probably deservedly so, although you'll have to hear ACH's side of the story. Basically, out of this, Cedric Alexander came out, and he ended up getting the title match against Jay Lethal a little bit later on. But up and down, a really fun show, 1999, for the cost of the iPay-per-view. I had no problems watching it. I guess some people did during the initial live streaming. I had no problems whatsoever. It was main evented by Red Dragon against the Young Bucks, as you talked about a little
earlier. Okay, hold on. Sorry to cut you off. I found it. I have not lost my mind. It was Night of Champions 2010. There was a six-pack challenge elimination match for the title, and Wade Barrett eliminated John Cena clean in the middle with the Wasteland. That's what it was. You don't remember this, do you?
I don't.
Nobody does, because, you know.
Which is bad news for Wade Barrett.
Well, it's just this is what they do with John Cena. You know, if you give a guy a big win over John Cena, you have to immediately do a bunch of programming to put John Cena back into the main event spot and essentially act like nothing ever happened, which is exactly what's going on with Cena and Brock Lesnar, by the way. But that's another story entirely. Anyway, go on with the ROH thing.
Bottom line, that match was not as good as Red Dragon against Young Bucks. 2 out of 3 falls for the ROH tag titles. Probably went about 20 minutes or so. The first and second fall went about seven and a half minutes. Third fall went about 5. But it was everything that you would probably expect out of these teams. You did mention something earlier on about the fact that the video packages were, you know, this was almost a downer after watching those video packages. And for good reason. These guys in Chicago and in earlier on this year in New York had some incredible, incredible matches. And one of the problems of all of this is, and of showing these video packages, is you've seen it all. And obviously the Young Bucks will come up with new tag team moves and things like that. But it's very difficult to always face the same guys and always try to pull out something new. The bar has been raised so high with these guys. And I think after this point, we're going to see, I don't know who it could be. Obviously, Rose out, so Hansen's a single right now. But they need to get some more tag teams into the mix for both of these guys to keep them both fresh and to keep both of them entertaining. But it's been a hell of a series that ended with the Young Bucks on top and retaining the ROH title, which ended up being the main event over the world title match.
That's right. We've got a lot to talk about in terms of the world title match, as well as tell you, the listener, all about the Meltzer driver. That's right. The Dave Meltzer driver. The new move of the Young Bucks. That's coming up when we come back from the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794. XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. The Meltzer Driver debuted in ROH last night. It is the one of the Young Bucks' new big moves.
It is such a, you know, the Young Bucks are the kings of superfluous moves, but those superfluous moves are very impressive. I don't know how these dudes are going to walk at 30, much less 50, but it is very impressive.
The Meltzer driver is a Springboard 450 Stuff Tombstone Pile Driver. You got all that, everybody? A Springboard 450 Stuff Pile Driver.
Yeah, Matt picks up the guy and holds him up in a tombstone position. And his brother Nick goes to the ropes and climbs up onto the top rope. And he's right in the middle there and does a Springboard 450 and grabs onto the guy's tights as his other brother, Matt, pulls him down. And it's a spike pile driver. And it is, again, an incredibly superfluous, spectacular move, which they are the absolute kings of.
Now, it's superfluous, obviously, because if you were going to give somebody a spike pile driver, why would you need to do a flip first?
That's like most of their moves. Why do you?
Exactly.
You
know, and that's,
again, it's a why ask why thing, and they are spectacular. You know, if I had my druthers, I'm more of a Red Dragon guy because I think they can work with guys a lot more and have better, more technical matches that I tend to like. But as far as, you know, guys flying around and having a spot fest, if you're going to do something like that, like Dragon Gate, you know, Ricochet, there's lots of guys where you better be really good at it, and you better be crisp, and you better be clean. And, you know, over the years, look what Kota Ibushi's been able to do, controlling his body and getting a lot better at it. The Young Bucks are the same way. It is not your father's pro wrestling or anything like that, but you have got to give them credit for the athleticism and the inventiveness of these moves.
All right, we're going to be back after our hourly break. We've got another hour of Wrestling Observer Live here on the show, so stick around, everybody. We got more to talk about, including my vote for the Alvarez driver. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live, where you're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Spent the first hour talking about a bunch of different things. We got a lot more to talk about here today. The Meltzer driver in the last segment. It is the Young Bucks' new move. It is everything you could want in a pro wrestling move. There's a dude gets dropped on his head. There's a flip. There's everything here. And Mike, I was thinking about if somebody invented an Alvarez driver, what I would want it to be. And my idea is I would somehow want the Young Bucks to do some sort of flip into a chin lock. That's what I want my move to be.
That's what I'm trying to think of.
Or a headlock. Something really old school, but you also superfluously put a flip into it.
I want there to be a Semper Vivi driver, but it's got to be a move you can hit from the back.
There's got to be a move that involves like a hockey stick, right?
That's you know what? Yes, in fact, that was the O'Reilly driver last night to end the first fall, where they had a little ode to Toronto, and a hockey stick was broken for the Red Dragon to get the first pin. But yeah, I don't know how many flippy dudes there be. Maybe some sort of tilt-a-whirl into a crucifix, or I have no idea.
So there's a new champion. Jay Briscoe won the title from Michael Elgin. And apparently there's a story here. I don't know the whole story, but I do know that Michael Elgin there'd been some heat on him. Part of it was due to an interview that he did where he talked about how he wanted to try out for Major League Baseball. And apparently he was also just, as I was told, generally a pain in the ass. And so they took the title off of him, and Jay Briscoe is the new champion. And what that means for Michael Elgin, I don't know. They did put over his wrestling school. He did talk about baseball, so I guess we can address that after the break, trying out for Major League Baseball. But a lot of stuff is going on, so stick around, everybody. More on that in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We've been talking about the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. We've been talking about all sorts of different topics here today. We are live every Sunday. And don't forget, if you are listening and you miss any portion of this show, not only can you check out a replay at WrestlingObserver.com after the show ends, but we are up every Monday morning at 7 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, so check us out there as well. And Mike, we were talking the Ring of Honor iPay-per-view, talking Michael Elgin no longer being the champion, and I guess trying to figure out what his future might hold. Any other thoughts on last night's pay-per-view? What was good? What was bad, in your opinion?
You know, Elgin Briscoe was good, and it's, you know, being a resident of Sussex County, Delaware, there were shotguns being blasted all throughout the county in celebration of the fact that Jay Briscoe is bringing the title back home. And, you know, no matter how that match went, because it was a very big surprise, it seemed to be in the building that this was going to happen. And it obviously, it seems to be, it was a late decision that got made, but it was either Jay Briscoe's streak of not being pinned in 2 years, which they keep pushing, you know, the fact he never lost that belt. He gave that belt up last year about, 70 days after, 80 days after he won the thing, when his contract ran out, and he looked like he was going to be signing a developmental deal with WWE. And, you know, it was either he was going to lose to the world champion and lose the streak, or the streak continues. So they do have something built coming out of this, too, with Briscoe. And they teased a situation with Mike Bennett taking his old Rogue world title belt that he had when he first came back to the company. Jay Briscoe had when he first came back to the company that Matt Hardy had stolen. He has given it to Mike and Maria, who have made it the Love title. And Mark Briscoe came out to chase them off and say when his brother, you know, if his brother was not busy right now trying to get ready for this match, he'd be whipping your butts. And that's probably a direction they're going to go with a title defense. Makes perfect sense that way. Jay Lethal and Cedric Alexander for a fill in there was a very, very fun little match. Lethal got the victory and retains the title. The best thing probably outside of the main event was AJ Styles and Adam Cole, which was the match that they had before intermission. That was great. It was a great, great match. Everything that you would expect out of those two. Adam Cole, for at this point in his career, at his age, is just absolutely just an amazing, incredible wrestler. And AJ Styles, even though he's been banged up from working in Japan, you know, you really, if you didn't know that he was a step slower, odds are you would have never known it. And that was probably the best match on the show. Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian against Roderick Strong and Jimmy Jacobs was pretty good as well. Seemed to be a means to get to the Roderick Strong and his team of the decade, kind of splitting apart there, Adam Page and BJ Whitmer. Jimmy Jacobs had to play peacemaker between all those guys, so there's some obvious dissension there. Now, Daniels and Kazarian had this match because the decade interfered with their title match against Red Dragon in New York last month, so if Daniels and Kazarian are going to stay around, and hopefully that they do, they can be involved with either the Young Bucks or Red Dragon again, too, to kind of mix things up there. Talked about Mark Briscoe against Hansen. I think Briscoe got the win. That was the opener of the show. And then Ethan Gabriel Owens, Josh Alexander, the decade of Whitmer and Adam Page and Caprice Coleman and Takaki Watanabe lost to Moose Ojinaka, former Atlanta Falcon and New England Patriot, and the amazing, inevitable R.D. Evans, whose streak is now 150-0, as he and Moose ended up getting the victory last night. So, yes, R.D. Evans, the longest, most important streak in professional wrestling right now, has pulled it out to 150.
You know what's funny is it's a pure comedy streak. And even though everybody in the Ring of Honor audience knows it's fake, they're now into it. And they've been chanting undefeated. And I think that one of the keys to the thing, one of the reasons that it works, is that even though the number is fake, he is undefeated since this supposed streak started. You know what I mean?
It's not like he's losing in a way and then claiming some sort of technicality. He's winning these matches.
Yes, this is not like when Sid had that streak in WCW. And if you recall correctly, he would, it was an imaginary streak. I don't even know what their idea was. They were out of their minds at this point.
Eight victories a week, usually.
Yeah. At least Ring of Honor, they're doing it for comedy. But I'm pretty sure WCW was doing it for serious, for lack of a better term. But Sid would lose, and it would count as a win. Remember this?
Yes.
He would come out and beat up three men in an unofficial match, and it would count as four wins. Not three, by the way.
Well, you have the match, you know, it's like you get your show money, and then, you know, for each man defeated, you get another win.
That's right. So, you know, that was a complete waste of an idea because he wasn't even really winning, and they were padding the numbers. You know, when you're trying to do a serious streak, as soon as you pad the numbers, it's all over. And especially when you're padding the numbers and people know. I mean, again, the Sid streak was supposed to be legit, but this is not. But it's still working because the guy really is winning all of his matches by hook or crook.
And this way, it was a hook and a crook, as he ended up stealing the pin from Owens. Ego after Moose came in. They hit a move, and it looked like he was going to get the pin, I think, on Adam Page. Ego was, and then Moose comes in, lays out Alexander, knocks him out of the ring, and in rolls R.D. Evans with this crucifix and hooks him and rolls him up and gets the victory, and celebrations are to be had by all, but except for Tommaso Ciampa, who, this should be noted, at the end of the main event. Now, he had come out earlier in the show, and they had a situation at their last, iPay-per-view or event in Chicago, where he had come out and attacked the announcers, or at least jostled Kevin Kelly about. Carino had to save him. And then he ended up taking Bobby Cruz, the ring announcer, and drilling him with knees, storyline knocking him out and beating him down. And he came out early on this show out of the crowd, jumped out there. Cruz goes bailing out of the ring. He says he just wants to apologize. Nigel McGuinness comes out, cuts his mic off. And as this is going on, as kind of wacky as it is, because Ciampa's doing this, you know, crazed, you know, out of his mind lunatic thing. He always kind of had that anyway, but he's been pushed over the edge. Carino's selling this, and they're talking about how they just want him to get help. He tries to go up and talk to him just to see how he's doing every day. And even though it's kind of hokey, how Carino and Kelly were selling it was actually, I thought, really, really good. And then later on, after the show had ended, the Red Dragon had gone back. I had gone back to the back out of the ring, and they left the Young Bucks in the ring to get the admiration of the fans. Out jumped Tommaso Ciampa again and waylaid everybody, pulled the mat up in the corner to you know, which again showed people that maybe don't know what a wrestling ring is really like. He just undid it. Pulled up the top of the mat, the canvas on the mat, and shows one little mat there, pulls that up, and there's just wood. And that's all it was. And he did a neck breaker out of the corner on one of the Young Bucks, and that's where it cut. I know that he did a little bit more after that before they got him out of the ring. So I don't know what that means and where they're going to be going with him. But there's another guy down the line, possibly for Jay Briscoe, with you have two crazy men just going at it.
You know, going back to that Moose match very quickly, one of the things that I thought was so funny about it is Moose is a former football player. He's gigantic. He's very green. He's not terrible. He's just green. And he needs to work on his facial expressions, but he's okay. This is like the anti-ROH wrestler is what I'm trying to say here. But they built a match around this guy. They did one of those train wreck spots that built to him doing a flip to the outside. And everybody starts chanting his name. And it was just funny because it's sort of like, this to me is proof that if you get a giant dude and you have him beat up a bunch of little dudes, it's always going to get over. It doesn't matter what promotion it's in. It doesn't matter where it's at. It always gets over. And this was proof to me because Moose is not a guy who should get over an ROH. But he did.
They're 9-1-1 in a way.
That's right. We'll talk about this more after the break. Observer Live, Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network. All right. We're back here on the show, everybody. Mike, I've made a command decision for the show going forward. Yes. I'm not going to do the giant plug of where we are and how you can listen to us anymore. Why bother? I've got the announcer guy does that after every break.
That's true. He does. I will point out, though, that it's football season. Many times on your regular Sirius radio, if you're listening to the car or something like that, Sirius Channel 92 will be taken up by a football game. But if you have Sirius anywhere, you can get us on the app. You can listen to us on TuneIn. You could stream it that way live. So never fear if you usually listen to us on Sirius and you have a concern over how you're going to be able to hear us again. Plenty of options, many of which are posted up at the WrestlingObserver.com website.
That's right. Let's cut out all of the superfluous high spots. We're not the Young Bucks here.
That's not the Young Bucks of audio.
That's right. We're the Young Bucks of audio. By the way, how do you live is it Sussex County? Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Sussex County. And that's where the Briscoes live, correct?
Yes.
How have you never run into these dudes? You must frequent the same bars.
Well, no. Well, they're on kind of one side of the county, and I'm on the other side of the county. I'm a little bit closer to the beach. There are a lot of us who have been transplanted here, even though I've been down here now a long time and consider myself kind of a Delawarean. I came from the D.C. area. Many people in my part of the county have come from Baltimore, have come from Washington. They've retired here. They've come down, and we're more towards this end where as you go out towards Briscoe country, you get a lot of farms. Get a lot of chicken farming, get a lot of tobacco, get a lot of corn, all that. And as the further you go west, it gets a little bit different. And people stop sounding like I do. And it's not like I have great enunciation or a fantastic accent or anything. But the further you go out, the more it actually sounds like Jay and Mark.
Have you ever visited their chicken farm?
I have been around it. I don't know exactly where it is. And I don't see the one thing, too, about Sussex County as you go out that way. You don't want to be kind of messing around and just showing up on people's property because.
Oh, yes. You'll be shot.
They have plenty of weapons.
Yeah.
The Briscoes have plenty of weapons. I know that for sure, because at the before the Future of Honor 2 show that took place in July, they had Jay Lethal out there and Adam Cole, and there's pictures of them doing some trap shooting, or I hope it was trap shooting. I don't think they were shooting real people, but they have enough land where if they wanted to hide a body, they probably could. I don't think they would do such a thing, but you don't want to be messing around out there without knowing exactly where you're going to be.
Wait a second. The Briscoes and Adam Cole were shooting guns together?
I believe so. I think that's up on...
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's it's killing kayfabe right there.
That's it. You know, you hate something like that. But then again, you know, you don't know. All you have to do with that, because look, Bill Watts, doesn't matter what a situation could be. If you have a good enough booker and a good enough mind, you can get yourself out of anything. And I could see Adam Cole saying he was just driving on this backcountry Delaware road trying to find where the Future of Honor show was going to take place. And somebody came and accosted him and said, "Damn it, boy, you look too pretty. You're going to come out here and we're going to make a man out of you." So he did all of that stuff under duress and was shooting those guns and getting himself smelling manure and things like that, which, by the way, the manure smell down here, it smells like money. That's what they always like to say, because that means farmers and things are going good and they're making money. So you could have that happen and you can get yourself out of it in some sort of creative way. Either that or have Rosa Mendez show up.
Oh, man. Listen, everybody, we got an update on Daniel Bryan. Apparently, his wife, Brie Bella, was doing some promotional work for this coming season of Total Divas, and they asked her about Daniel Bryan, and she said that doctors have decided that he does not need a second surgery, and so all he has to do is rehab, and they're hopeful that he might be back within 3 months. So that's good news. It says that she said that he is getting some strength back in his bad arm. And if that's the case, what is it? September, October, November, December. He could be back as a surprise for the Royal Rumble or even earlier. What would you do with him, Mike?
Not put Rey Mysterio in the spot again if he's going to be back at the Royal Rumble.
You know, we've talked about this before, but this is a very important thing to discuss here. Let's say that Daniel Bryan is ready to return by the Royal Rumble. They've already got a plan for WrestleMania.
Change it.
Really?
Change it. Here's why.
Well, let me say what the plan would be, and then you can explain how to change it. Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar for the WWE title. So Lesnar would retain the title through WrestleMania, and then you have Roman Reigns win the Royal Rumble and go on to face him at Mania. Now, the problem is, if you bring Daniel Bryan back at the Royal Rumble, if you put him in the Royal Rumble match, you are in big trouble. So my idea would be, why don't you just keep everything as is, and his big return at the Royal Rumble is not in the Royal Rumble match itself, but rather a match with him and Brock Lesnar for the title. You give him his title shot, and I hate to say it, but Brock's got to beat him clean in the middle. And then Roman Reigns can win the Royal Rumble without having to worry about people turning on him because Daniel Bryan is not in the match. Now, the one thing I will say before you go, Mike, is that per my scenario, if I were in charge, I would actually put the Royal Rumble on early. I would put it on before Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar. Because if you have the Lesnar-Bryan match go first, unless Brock completely destroys and kills the guy, you're still going to have people expecting Daniel Bryan to come out in the Royal Rumble, even if he's not even booked in it, like this past year when they turned on poor Ray. You know, Bryan was never supposed, and he had a match earlier in the show anyway, so why would he come out for the Royal Rumble? But they thought he was going to be out there. So to me, if you do this scenario, you've got to have Bryan and Brock go on after the Royal Rumble. So now what are your thoughts?
You know what? That's a good one, and I would be all for that. If he came out the beginning of the show, Paul Heyman's out there saying, well, you know, Brock doesn't have an opponent, and you're paying for the network, and you're not even getting to see Brock defend the title. And Bryan comes out there, and then, you know, before the Royal Rumble even, you have Bryan and Reigns pass each other in the back. Even if Bryan doesn't win, maybe they shake hands or something like that, and then the Rumble goes on. Yeah, that's not a bad idea at all. To me, if you can negotiate something with Brock Lesnar where you know you can get him back for WrestleMania 2 years from now, forget about next year, 2 years from now, Bryan comes back at the Royal Rumble if he's ready. And again, if Reigns is so hot and is, you know, people are behind him winning the Royal Rumble and going on and facing Brock at WrestleMania, great. You know, then come up with a different opponent for Bryan coming back, you know, and do a situation where he's not in the Rumble match. But I would say put him in the Rumble match, have him win, go to WrestleMania, have him lose. You know, this is his big match back. He's been training, all that sort of stuff. Because Brock Lesnar just beat The Undertaker last year. To me, I would try to get as much big match value out of Brock. And granted, they have not done this in the entire time that they have had him. But you got a new page now. It's possible that you could do this. Go ahead and have that happen. And have, you know, either have Bryan beat him at WrestleMania or have Bryan lose. Because to me, you can bring back a guy for Roman Reigns. You can put him in a match against a monster or something like that, or something exciting where The Rock is in his corner. I mean, there's a possibility he could go into the Hall of Fame this year. There's something you could do where you will still protect and keep Roman Reigns and make people happy having him out there. That, to me, I could absolutely – to me, that's a scenario I think would work fine, because as it stands right now – I know what people would do for Daniel Bryan winning the Royal Rumble and him going, especially after last year, and him going on and facing Brock, win or lose at WrestleMania. To me, that would be a big thing. You know, with Roman Reigns right now, people are kind of for it, but there's still a lot of people that are pushing back, and there's a lot of people, frankly, that are looking for a reason to push back on him. To me, if he's not there yet, go ahead and go with Daniel Bryan, because you know what you're going to get out of that, and you know it's going to be big doings. I mean, look at the lead-up they had. They can't, you know, duplicate that documentary that they had for Daniel Bryan this year, but they could certainly do something with the health and condition that he's been in and how long of a year that it's been. You could do something like that and get a lot of attention for it again by doing that at the Rumble. Whatever happens, though, you just can't have a Lex Luger, Bret Hart type of situation where you have Reigns and Bryan, you know, stepping on each other's toes. They have got to be, to me, you know, united when it comes to guys running out and breaking up a fight in a main event or something like that, but not, you know, so intertwined with each other where people have to decide that who they're going to like more, because that's not going to help Roman Reigns at all.
If it were not for how behind Roman Reigns they are, if there were no Roman Reigns right now, or if they weren't planning on having him be the next big guy, and you wanted to do Bryan versus Brock at WrestleMania, I mean, you could do the easy story of he comes back in like December, and he says that, you know, I've been off for a long time. I had neck surgery. I had elbow surgery, and quite frankly, I am owed a WWE World Heavyweight Championship match. However, I don't feel that I am ready for Brock Lesnar right now. But what I'm going to do is I am going to enter the Royal Rumble. And if I can outlast all 30 of these men and win this Royal Rumble, then I feel I will be ready for Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. And you could do an easy storyline like that where he's got to win his way through the Rumble. And even though it would be obvious, that's fine. There are a lot of storylines where people know where it's going and you deliver it and they're happy. I think that would be... It's not what they do is the problem. You know, they don't have a guy coming back and he's coming off an injury and he's not at 100%. That's not the kind of storyline that they do. But I think that it would be a fun little storyline and, you know, you could do Brock versus, I don't know, whoever at Royal Rumble. Or, as I've noted before, Brock doesn't have to work every pay-per-view. You should be able to come up with some matches where you don't need Brock on pay-per-view, so he's still like a special attraction. You could do Daniel Bryan winning the Royal Rumble, and then the Elimination Chamber match. You do Daniel Bryan versus Kane, so Daniel Bryan can get his revenge as a warm-up match. And Brock doesn't even have to be on that show. There are a lot of ways you can go, but I don't expect him to do it because of where they want to go with Roman Reigns. And I just don't think they're going to change their mind on that storyline. We'll get your thoughts on this when we come back from the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday. Didn't I say I wasn't going to do this? Well, I'm doing it anyway. Every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Later on tonight, it is the debut of Total Divas on E! Myself and Vinny are going to be back only for subscribers. We're going to be talking a number of different shows. I am trying to get my buddy Wang on to review Total Divas with us. That would only be fitting. But otherwise, Vinny and I are going to be reviewing the Ring of Honor iPay-Per-View in great detail. We'll be talking about this past Friday's SmackDown. And we're going to be talking about NXT, which is important because NXT has TakeOver 2 coming up this Thursday. Mike, are you excited for TakeOver 2?
I am happy about TakeOver 2, although I really wish the Charlotte and what is my girl's name?
Bailey?
The Pixie Dust and
Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, I wish that match could have been on there because, you know, I think Alexa Bliss needs as many high profile appearances as she could possibly get. She's pretty. Just for that reason. I mean, she's green, but you know what? A green Muso Tanaka, a green Alexa Bliss. We're all winners here, right?
I think so. I'm a big fan.
Who would you rather see, Alexa Bliss or The Ascension?
Oh, for sure, Alexa Bliss.
Alexa Bliss or CJ Parker?
Oh, God, Alexa Bliss. This isn't even fair.
Well.
You should say, like, Alexa Bliss or Sami Zayn, because then it's like, that's a little harder.
Alexa Bliss or Bo Dallas?
Oh, God, Alexa Bliss.
Okay.
Not even close.
Bo leaving tonight.
You're going to be bow leaving tonight. You're not going to bow leave. You went to watch that match.
That's true.
Who's he wrestling again?
As I believe in Hampton last night, he faced off against Dolph Ziggler. So
Bo Dallas and Dolph Ziggler.
Got Damian Mizdow against Adam Rose. Again, Fandango, R-Truth. Ascension, Kofi, Big E. Zayn and Kidd and Rollins and Reigns are both looking excellent right now.
Did you
now.
Go over this whole card earlier in the show and I just wasn't listening?
That's pretty much, yeah.
Because now that I'm really thinking about it, this sounds terrible.
Well, and I don't know.
Now run over that card again in case anyone else wasn't paying attention. Go over these matches one by one.
Okay, I'm going to try to pull up the results from last night, so I have all of them here, because I would believe that there were more matches than this, but the main event for the current tour that's going on is Seth Rollins against Roman Reigns. You have Sami Zayn against
Tyson Kidd. Okay, hold on, one at a time. Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, that probably will be a very good match, so yeah. That's good.
You have Sami Zayn against Tyson Kidd.
That should be awesome. I do remember you talking about that one. I would be excited about that one as well.
there is a little bit of bad news with that, as when a lot of times they'll bring guys up where people are not, you can always tell they're not fans of NXT or fans of other promotions, because apparently there were some people chanting boring last night in Hampton. I don't know how many there were. Man. Hopefully there were not too many, but hopefully the crowd in Salisbury tonight has got a little bit more sense. The Ascension against Kofi and Big E, and the Ascension have been on the cusp of being brought up how many times now?
Many, actually.
Yeah,
the Ascension versus Kofi and
Big E with Xavier Woods in their corner.
Oh my God! Yeah, I remember you talking about that. But as I start to actually think about the match, it's like, wow.
You got Damian Mizdow against Adam Rose.
A main event anywhere in this country.
Don't know if there's going to be a Ho train or Rose train. What do they call it? The Rose Buds. Not sure how that's going to work.
Rose
with the
Rose Buds. Yeah.
People coming out. You have Nikki, Cameron, and Alicia against Brie, Eva Marie, and Naomi. And because I have really
okay, hold on, read those.
This,
read those again. Nikki
Bella.
Okay.
Along with Cameron.
Okay.
And Alicia.
That's not too bad.
Against Brie Bella.
Okay.
Naomi.
Okay.
And Eva Marie.
Oh man, if it weren't for Eva Marie, that might be a decent match.
I got really good seats, so at least I'll be able to watch some really good seats, at least in this match.
Physically, yes. Eva Marie is something else.
I'm looking forward to Naomi and Cameron.
But unfortunately, have you ever seen Naomi in person?
No, I have not.
All right, let me tell you something. I went to Vegas. This is not where it's going, where it sounds like it's going, by the way. I went to Vegas for the WWE Network announcement, and they had several WWE superstars there to greet the people. They had the great Khali, who just looked absolutely miserable having to stand around the whole time. They had Alberto Del Rio, because he is a handsome Hispanic man. They had Mark Henry, because he's absolutely gigantic. And then, of course, they had the two girls, Naomi and Cameron. And Naomi was wearing like this gold dress. I'll never forget this, by the way. sound like a creeper, but this was by design, obviously, by WWE. She looks like a cartoon character. It was I felt like I was in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And I was a human being, and there was this cartoon, this comically drawn cartoon character there. It's like nothing you've ever seen, Mike. You were in for a treat tonight.
These girls are thick to death, and I'm looking forward to that. What I'm not looking forward to, Fandango against R-Truth. No women, I believe, come out with Fandango.
I'm astonished that this match is on the card.
Apparently, it's the opener of the show.
Actually, you know what? In the ring, that's probably going to be a fine match, but nobody is going to... Well, I shouldn't say that. It's the opener. You know
and
what?
Again, yeah, if they're only going 4 minutes, I mean, our truth is
oh, they won't go
underrated.
4 minutes. They'll go 8 or 9.
So again, our truth is criminally underrated. You know, Fandango, again, it's going to have to be a lot of comedy, I think, to keep people involved, obviously, especially when there's no Summer Rae or anybody hanging out at ringside as well. And then Big Show against Rusev, which I guess is the semi-main event of the show there.
You know, the R-Truth Fandango match, I mean, one would dread it because it sounds like a match that they would put on TV in the middle of the third hour and everybody would be bored and you would be falling asleep. But in real life, they're both very good workers. And if you put them in the opener of a house show, the crowd's going to be hot. I'll bet you, Mike, that is the third best match of the evening.
Okay, I'll take you up on that. Well, now I have a question for you. Now, hearing those matches, I'm now going to read the card that was in Dayton, Ohio last night. These people will be moving on to the campus of Penn State University, State College, Pennsylvania, before all of this ends up in Baltimore on Raw tomorrow night with Jerry Springer hosting. The opening match of that is Goldust and Stardust against Los Matadores with El Torito.
Okay, not bad.
NXT champion Aaron Neville against Tyler Breeze.
Probably pretty good.
Sin Cara and Slater.
By the way, that's an NXT championship match, everybody.
Yes. Sin Cara. And by the way, Dolph Ziggler's title will be on the line, too. So I don't know. Again, they do this often on the house shows. Sin Cara and Slater Gator came out, and I guess they had some sort of, they have a contest, they have some sort of app choosing deal or something like that, where it ended up being, you got to choose who Sin Cara's opponent was going to be, and they chose Titus O'Neil, and Sin Cara ended up winning that one. We'll see what happens tonight. You have the U.S. title match between Sheamus and Cesaro.
It'll probably be pretty good. You're going to the wrong show, apparently.
I know. I'm getting the B show. They're getting the A show out there. Apparently, that was the match of the night last night. No surprise there. That was followed up by Paige defending the Divas Championship against Natalya.
That's pretty good.
You have a lot of lateral movement in this next match. You have the Great Khali and the Usos, both with bad knees, against the entire Wyatt family.
I could miss that one.
The main event. John Cena against Kane in a street fight.
Oh, man. So maybe you did. Your main event's going to be better than their main event.
I think so, too. And again, it's, you know what? It's not an awful card, again, with the people that are on Rollins, Reigns, Zayn, and Kidd, obviously. And like you said, Fandango, R-Truth, and Ziggler, Bo Dallas. Who knows? I haven't seen Bo Dallas live yet. So maybe, again, maybe something could happen there. I don't know.
If this were a pay-per-view match, I think that John Cena and Kane probably would be like a pretty, really good match, actually.
Where is Jack Swagger?
I don't know. At home?
I was going to say, what, deemed too dangerous to drive? I mean, I wonder what he's doing right now. And no Mark Henry either, getting show in Rusev instead of Henry in Rusev.
Well, Mark Henry is in the middle of two feuds, so I'm sure he's at home doing intense training to get ready for those.
I would hope so.
Yeah, NXT TakeOver, I'm very excited about that. Raw is tomorrow. As noted, it can't be worse than last week. That's all I got to say about that. Last week's show was just an atrocious show. The top to bottom. I mean, was there anything good on last week's show?
Yeah, the little logo coming up at the end saying that they're going to be ending, and the show ended. I mean, really, it was bad from top to bottom. There are so many plot holes. There was just... And maybe all the attention is on this week because of Monday Night Football, and technically this being the season premiere because we're into September and, you know, everything's supposed to be fresh and new. It was like that Christmas show, you know, a couple of years ago with Del Rio hit Santa Claus after they had already turned him face. And it was just poor planning, just not thinking things through, you know, a convoluted, just nothing. None of it was good. I mean, honest to God, I'm trying to think of something even there was, you know, kind of funny or something like that. And there wasn't even that. It was just, you're due to have a bad show. And granted, it is up to you to make sure that that doesn't happen, but you're due to have a bad one. They were, I guess, due to have an awful one because there was really no redeeming value to it whatsoever. It was that bad.
Well, let's look at this Night of Champions card here. This is coming up on September 21st from the Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. We've got, obviously, Brock Lesnar versus John Cena is the main event for the World Heavyweight title. We've got Sheamus versus Cesaro for the U.S. title. Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz for the Intercontinental title. Paige versus AJ versus Nikki in a triple threat for the Divas title. Mark Henry versus Rusev in a singles match. And the Usos against Goldust and Stardust for the tag team titles. And I think that's fixing to be not a bad show in the ring, actually. Although I am sad that your main girl, Eva Marie, got, you know, she got locked out of this Divas title match. She deserves a shot.
That's, you really are on this hard about the fact that she was picking up a couple wins there, which, come on.
She got two wins in a row over the champion.
Like wins and losses do not matter, Brian.
Two wins in a row over the champion should give you a championship match, in my opinion.
And she doesn't look as bad as Rosa, which I tell you is amazing.
Well,
yeah, it's a...
When
Taryn Terrell, now granted... Gail Kim has been the underrated MVP of that promotion for the last 2 years. I mean, just look at the matches she's had with people, especially Taryn Terrell, that they had a bunkhouse match or whatever it was last year that was surprisingly good. But, you know, when Tiffany is better than some of your women's division. Granted, not better than Cameron, or I mean, not better than Naomi, not better than Natalia, obviously, but I will take her over Eva Marie.
I don't want to downplay Tiffany because she has gotten a lot better, but she's all about taking these crazy bumps.
Crazy girl.
Yeah. If you watch the matches that were very good that she was involved in, they all involved taking crazy bumps. But if you actually watch the meat and potatoes of the match between that, they're really not very good. I know she's your girl, Mike, but...
I've seen her meat and potatoes, and I don't think it's as bad as you're saying.
Wow. All right, everybody, we're going to head to a break. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the show. We'll talk a little bit more about Night of Champions and whatever else is going on. So stick around, everybody. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. All right, we're back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. As noted, tomorrow is Raw, and also as noted, it can't be much worse. Night of Champions is, it looks like, 2 weeks away. So this will not be the go-home show tomorrow. I guess we'll see what they do. I don't have any sort of preview for Raw at this point. Actually, I do. They've got Jericho Wyatt in a cage match. And I believe Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton. Is that correct?
Not quite sure. I haven't pulled it up yet.
No, they plugged it on the show last week.
I was on Twitter. That's where, yeah, I tell you, there's where something has become very valuable. Twitter during bad wrestling nights. If you're going to stay involved in it, sometimes you need a little help from your friends, and you will find that on Twitter.
That's right. So the idea that they're doing Jericho and Wyatt in a cage match suggests to me that they're not going to be doing that match at Night of Champions. So I figured it would be a three-match series, but I guess the blow-off will be in the cage, and Bray Wyatt should win.
And look, and fair enough, I didn't forget about how the WWE buried Bray Wyatt and everything. This feud, for whatever reason, has not clicked and resonated with everybody. You might as well let it roll out and take advantage of Jericho and take advantage of Bray Wyatt doing something else.
So that is tomorrow on Raw. And of course, as noted, we're going to be back later on tonight. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. We'll be doing a Total Divas review. And in addition to that, we've got the Ring of Honor iPay-Per-View, which was a very good show. If you want to check it out, it's available on the ROH website as well as Ustream. So head up there and check that one out. Also, tonight we'll be talking the SmackDown show. Probably talked a little bit about various things as well, so it should be a good time. You can sign up today and get full access to all of these shows for just $9.99 for a long-term subscription. So again, if you like this show and you're not going to get to hear it again until next Sunday, sign up, and you're going to hear it again tonight. I want to thank Mike, as always. I want to thank all of the folks at Sports Byline USA, all of you listening here tonight. We will be back in 7 days with a brand new live show. So until then, thanks, everybody, for listening. Check out Raw tomorrow night. Check out the Brian and Vinny show later, and we will see you next week. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.